Two verses from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So what do you think about our Thanksgiving decorations? Aren't they gorgeous? I walked into the sanctuary and said, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Why did the farmer have to separate the chicken and the turkey? He sensed foul play. Groaners, right, Dennis? I love the wobble, wobble, wobble one, though, the limping turkey, you know. But today, Thanksgiving is a great time to evaluate how we are doing at giving thanks to God. How are we, on a daily basis, grateful or ungrateful? When you come to church, you'll be challenged to look in the mirror and say, how am I doing, God? You know, help me understand how I need to be more grateful, to focus more on giving thanks and praise to God than not. And when we read this scripture from Deuteronomy 8, it's powerful. We can relate. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. It's a warning. Don't forget God. We have to have a daily focus on remembering all that God has done. It's kind of like having $1 million in the bank but never really understanding it, right? That you are wealthy and rich in the Spirit. If you focus in on God, there's a great quote. It's, gratitude is the energy of faith. Amen? Gratitude is the energy of faith. And Meister Eckhart, who was a German theologian from the 1200s, said this beautiful quote. If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. Amen? I want us to be people that are so filled with praise and thanksgiving that someone notices that you have Christ in your heart. You're just overflowing with gratitude. You just live with the knowledge that God loves you and you're not alone. And it says that if you're not careful and you forget God, then your heart will be filled with will become proud, and you will forget the Lord God who brought you out of Egypt into the promised land. And for us as Christians, we can relate to this, because what happens with the Israelites is that they remember God, and they're faithful, and they're thankful, and then they slowly forget God when they're comfortable. Then they pay for it, there's consequences, and then they repent, and then they come back and reconnect with God. In the same way, if we forget that we are saved by the grace of God, then we suffer. And it does take work. It takes focus. In fact, the pilgrims, right, they fasted more than we would ever fast. They fasted because it made room for God. If you are filled with pride that everything that you have is by your own hands, you're so full of yourself that there's no room for God. There's no room for God. All that grace, all that peace, all that love just kind of bounces off. It is amazing that the early pilgrims in 1621, do you know that out of the 102 of them, that first year, that first winter, and then that harvest season, only 53 survived for that first Thanksgiving meal. 90 Wampanoag natives were there as well, and they all praised God. They all gave thanks to God. And so today's a day to understand how important it is to keep at gratitude, to work at it, to call on God, to say, Lord, help me Be gracious and grateful. Last night, you know, I woke up in the middle of the night, could not get back to sleep. It's the old saying, last night I slept like a baby. I woke up every hour and cried. But last night I just couldn't. We have a dog that's losing her sight. She really can't see. In the middle of the night, she wakes up and just barks because she's disoriented. You know, a couple barked, and then I'm awake. And then I start thinking about all the people that I love so much and some that are going through hard times. And I'm willing to go with them through those hard times. And I start stressing about the problems that I'm facing and that we face together. It's amazing. It's almost like a scale, right? You have all the things, if you focus in on your worries, your anxieties, and you have a scale, and you put those on one side, and then your blessings, the way that you can remember that you are loved, that you're in a relationship with God through Christ on the other side, and it's like, what's going to win? Are you going to be weighed down by your worries and anxieties? This verse came to me. In Psalm 94, verse 19, when anxiety was great within me, your comfort brought me joy. Amen. I remember that when anxiety was great within me, your comfort brought me joy. I actually started in the middle of the night, said, Dear Lord, help me. Help me remember how blessed I am. Help me recall that you've always been there for me, that I'm loved, that I'm part of a wonderful church family, that I'm just blessed to have the most wonderful children and wife, and that I have food on the table, counting blessings. And then slowly before the night, all of a sudden, the scales turn and I felt at peace. It's a battle, isn't it? To focus on the good, on the blessings. And so we have to intentionally count blessings and trust. And I said it to myself last night, that my God is greater than my problems. Amen. To keep believing that and trusting that and looking back and testifying, just as the scriptures have. Do not forget the Lord your God who delivered you out of captivity, out of slavery into the promised land, who fed you manna in the desert and brought water out of the rock. In the same way that we look back and we say, Lord, I thank you that Jesus delivered me from hopelessness, from sadness, from depression. Thank you for giving me a relationship that's filled with grace, that frees me from the captivity of sin and death. Amen? And from my fears. And so we read in Ephesians 1, it's a beautiful, beautiful verse where Paul is praying for the people in Ephesus. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. You didn't know that you have, your heart could see, right? And you get to ask God to say, Lord, help my heart see you in this world. And it's not easy when we watch the news, right? But at our prayer group on Wednesday, we remember that it'll be 10 years this January 15th that Chelsea Sullenberger, the miracle on the Hudson, that this pilot, who's known as Sully, in fact, the movie was on TV last night. I had never seen it. And I saw about half of it, that he was able to pilot that plane so gently onto the Hudson River, and 155 people survived. Not one perished because he was such a skilled pilot and he was their hero. So on the 10th anniversary, we talked at our prayer group. We said, how many are going to remember that they're alive today because of Sully? How many will reach out and thank him that they're alive today? As time goes on, you know, out of the 155, how many are going to make sure they personally look him in the eyes and say, thank you for saving my life? I don't know. Do you know what the backstory is for Chelsea Sullenberger? Is that he grew up in the United Methodist Church in Denison, Texas. And when he was interviewed, he said, everything basically that I ever learned about life, that I apply in my life, I learned in Sunday school at the United Methodist Church. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And also, if you didn't know it, and I didn't know it until I looked into his life in 1995, you know, 14 years before the miracle on the Hudson, Chelsea Sullenberger's father committed suicide. And from that moment that Sully dedicated himself to suicide prevention, he's been involved ever since his father took his own life. He's been personally involved in helping people stay alive and not choose that path, but open your heart to the hope and the love that God can give you and hang in there. So I only share that with you because I believe Sully has eyes in his heart to see And that just like Paul can pray, we can pray, Lord, help me see the way you want me to see in life. And that means you see the people that are so often forgotten. You know, we've had some changed hearts when we started our planning, and it's been years for our time to build. And there's been people who have come up and really with good intentions say, you know, I don't know why we're raising funds for those who are handicapped or in wheelchairs. We don't have any of those people in our church. I try not to smile and say, do you hear yourself speaking? They're not here because they can't get in. And the person goes, oh, okay. Because if you have God in your heart, all of a sudden you start thinking not self-centered, but other-centered. There is a difference when you walk with Christ. Your eyes of your heart are open. And you want that in your own life, to see the blessings in life, and also to see people that are so often forgotten. And so today I want you to really pray. But I asked Max last night, I said, what are you thankful for? And he said, everything. And he really said it with enthusiasm. He also had a can of Moxie. You like Moxie? Somehow he went online and he bought a case of Moxie online. I'm like, Max, I think they sell it at Walmart, I think. But he said it came right from Maine. I'm like, I need a lot of ice for that, Maya, because that tastes like medicine going down. But he's drinking. I said, I thank God for this Moxie. And I said, that's good. And then he goes, Asante Baba. And if Mark can correct me, Asante Baba in Swahili means thank you, Father. And it really hit my heart because Max lived numerous years without a physical father. But when they say Asante Baba in worship in Africa, in the Congo, it is Asante Baba, which is thank you, Father in heaven, for loving us, for giving us life, for redeeming us, for giving your son that you love us so much. And that's what we try to do every single week, is remind people, remember that you're loved by God. Remember that you're not alone, that there's hope, and nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's not an easy thing to just do on your own. If you miss church, if you don't get into the Word and let that sink inside of you and dwell in you richly, your heart's going to be blind. You're not going to see the things that God wants you to see. Paul says, how beautiful it is. He goes, I pray that your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Then he says, this incomparable great power for us who believe, that there is a difference between those who believe and those who don't believe. If you believe, you get the power of the resurrection. It says the power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Dick Tybert, yesterday we celebrated his life. He sat basically kind of where Gene is sitting with Betsy every 10:30 service. He came to our church not so many years ago, but he heard the word and he accepted Christ. When he died, I brought the hymn book to the hospital. Didn't know that his whole family was going to be there. We had a hymn sing, and we said, when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. And Dick was crying. He believed those words. And that's what comforted him and strengthened him as he faced his physical death. I pray that today you could really think about giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. It's God's will that your heart be filled with thanks. I thank you for helping me be thankful. I hope you are helped by what I share and how I live my life. You know, it's amazing how one person who's just so exuberant about life and thankful, doesn't that change you? It's like misery loves company. Thankful people, grateful people of love and of life, they're contagious, aren't they? You want to hang out with them. When I was young, my heart was not seen. I have two older brothers. One is just about a year older than I. And my mother did her best every time. We would get the same thing, just like a different color, like same clothes, just different color, same toy, different color. Everything, all along the way, everything. A treat, a piece of cake. She would cut it in half and do her best to make it perfectly even. And she'd give me one piece and my brother one piece. Do you think I would focus on the piece that I have? I would be looking at his, and I'd be measuring it. And I'd be like, his is bigger. Oh my goodness, look at that. Oh, the injustice that he would have a treat a millimeter bigger than me. We do the same thing when we get older. We don't focus on what we have. We focus on comparing with somebody else. But when you have Christ in your heart, you say, Lord, forgive me for my ingratitude. Forgive me that I'm full of the things of my life instead of relationship. You know, those fires in California, all those beautiful mansions and all the precious things that people spend so much money, how quick do they burn into ashes? We're still praying for all the people that are unaccounted for and the toll still rises, but it reminds me that everything you own, everything you think is so valuable can be gone very quick. Your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, your redeemed relationship with God is what will go on when you die. And you need to praise God for that right now. And we don't do that enough. And so let's do our best to be aware of how blessed we are. Do you know, I read this little thing about if you took the whole world and made it a hundred person village, do you know that only one person out of that 100, say you took all the population, only one out of the 100 people of the entire world would have had a college education. How many people went to college? Raise your hand that you have the opportunity. Wow. We're that one, right? Do you know that if you have food in the fridge and you have shoes and clothes and you have a bed and you have a roof, you are richer than 75% of the people in the world right now. And so I want you to know it's good to be careful, to do not forget the Lord your God, but go beyond just the physical things that you say. Because, you know, I love picking out on Thanksgiving. You know, that tryptophan kicks in and there's really no better feeling. There's this numb, huge feeling. You're so tired and you're like filled with so much, and someone says, does anybody want pie? And you're like, oh, I don't know, oh, maybe a little slice. And you keep going and you just fall. And it's like we live lives like that. We're so full of the things of the world. I challenge you to fast, even if it's one meal, that you just choose a meal to fast, if you physically can do that health wise to make room for the spiritual riches. We have so much to learn from the third world believers, you know, the people of other countries that are just getting by, but they're so filled with the Spirit. And so we're not going to take our prayer requests today. We're just going to lift up prayers of thanksgiving. Amen. I want you to focus just on giving thanks right now in our prayer time. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, forgive us for forgetting you and thinking that whatever we did, we've earned what we have. We know, Lord, there'll be a day when we'll be called home. And thank you, God, that we can continue to cry out to you, that we can be careful to not forget, to be attentive to you, because the closer we get to you, Lord, the more we're filled with thanksgiving and joy and peace. Lord, our hearts need to go from filled with foolish pride to be filled with your grace. And we repent of it. Lord, enlighten our hearts so that we could see how blessed we are, that we have here in this place the power that is the same as the mighty strength that you exerted when you raised Jesus from the dead. So, Lord, bless our Thanksgiving gatherings, our interfaith service. Thank you that we can come together Tuesday night to give you thanks and praise, to focus on loving kindness and forgiveness and grace. But bless that one soul here today who just, it's hard for them to see their blessings. Help them trust that you can just give that spirit of thanksgiving as a gift to them, that they can just trust that you have taken away their shame and their guilt and their mistakes, their regrets. And you filled their heart with just unconditional love right now at this very moment. We accept you as our Savior. Deliver us again from our sin. As we pray your prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.